The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany is from Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolish of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your callings, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This Sunday in the church year is also the minor church festival, a feast of dedication. And I want to read the text for that day. Boy. On the eighth day, when it came to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the redemption of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." When the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This past week, if you follow the news, especially if you're a basketball fan, you are aware of the death of the great basketball player Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. I think that's pronouncing it correctly. If I'm mispronouncing, I'm sorry, as well as five others. But focusing on him just for a moment, he had a very close relationship with his daughter, was her basketball coach, encouraged her in the game, and was thought to be a good father. I just got to tell you something about him that I just learned a couple of days ago. Hours before he was killed in the helicopter crash, he was in a church praying. That gave me a little bit of comfort, because I'm just going to say I didn't always like the man because of things he'd done. But my point is, he was thought to be a good father. And all parents want their children to succeed. There's a certain pride that comes along with when our children do well. I always enjoyed watching my kids, whether it was in flag practice or baseball or track, something like that. But honestly, at those events, do you really care when all the other kids are running? Now, come on, those of you who have little girls who were in dance, did you really, except for the little ones with the little teddy bears, when they would dance, they're adorable. But did you really care about all the other performances? No. Why? Because you were proud of your kid when they were up there. You were always hoping they would do well, rather than do a face plant right at the wrong moment, drop the ball when they weren't supposed to, or something else, but we won't talk about moments like that. But there's more important things to life than just that. Sports activities are not going to save a child or anyone else. What's important is to keep the faith and to cherish God's word. Cherishing God's word and worship should be a priority in life and not just an option. And it's in Bible study and in Sunday school, whether Bible studies in a collective group or individuals reading, that's where our faith is strengthened. So Joseph and Mary took Jesus' religious training very seriously. We read that they followed exactly what they're supposed to do. 8 days he was to be circumcised. 41 days was a purification of Mary and to consecrate Jesus. Because as I read in the text, The law was that the firstborn male always belonged to the Lord. And the parents had to redeem the firstborn by bringing a sacrifice. 41 days is a long time since Jesus had been born in the manger. The angels had been there. The shepherds had been there. But what happened next for the next 41 days? Nothing. We don't know what happened. After that big triumphant event, everything calms down. Mary and Joseph certainly must have had to find a place to stay because you can't always stay with the animals in a barn. Joseph had to find work in Bethlehem, but nothing had happened until now. So they bring Jesus to the temple, and many others were probably waiting there too. And this old man and an old woman come up to Mary and Joseph. Now, I'm going to say old because 84 at that time was very old. So I'm not picking on people in their 80s. All right? I just pick on people who wear bright purple shirts to church. Anyway, now I lost my place. Oh, yes. So this old man comes up to them, Simeon, and he says that this child is going to save the world, going to be an answer to the prayers of all of Israel. Imagine if at a baptism we had here, that suddenly somebody stood up, took the child from the parents, held the child up, turned around and proclaimed that this child would do great things, let's just say would be president of the United States in the future. I think we would find that rather different, right? It's not something you see every day. So it certainly got everybody's attention when Simeon did this. And the people must have asked, as old Simeon finally lost his mind. Mary and Joseph were poor. And we know that because they didn't bring a lamb, which was the standard sacrifice to redeem the firstborn. Instead, they brought two small birds. Excuse me. And Simeon was saying that Jesus was the Savior who God had prepared in the sight of all people. You know, it's easy to overlook miracles that are right in front of us. You know, at Christmas, it's easy to overlook the very fact that that baby in the manger is God Himself. It's easy to overlook the miracle at a baptism. When a child is baptized, the Holy Spirit enters that child, creating faith. It's easy to miss the miracle of the Lord's Supper, that His body and blood is present, and that the words of God are truly found only in the Bible. Instead of an awe and reverence, sometimes we go, well, we've heard that before. It's nothing special. We just miss the miracles. And God did not want His people that day in the temple to miss the miracle that was there. And God used two older people to spread the good news. Notice He didn't choose the chief priest who was on duty that day in the temple. He didn't choose any of the rich and the wealthy. Instead, He chose an old man and an old woman. It says of Anna that she never tired of fasting and praying and studying the Word of God in the temple. See, Anna knew her sin and her need for a Savior, and she never stopped praying, and she had a zeal for worship. Now, Simeon's words of praise also came with sort of a dark message for Mary. Yes, He will be the glory of Israel, but He will be spoken against. And then Simeon also says, and a sword will pierce your own heart, and He will cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. Mary, during Jesus' earthly ministry, heard her son being called a demon, seeing that he was hated, yelled at, seen him when he was exhausted by the crowds, and then finally saw him nailed to the cross itself. So Simeon's word certainly came true in many ways. And Jesus did reveal the thoughts of many people. You remember the story of Simon the Pharisee, when Jesus is in his home, and there's a woman washing Jesus' feet who was a prostitute, and Simon the Pharisee's thinking in his head, doesn't Jesus know who's touching him? And Jesus turns and tells him what he was thinking, questioned him on it, and also called him to repentance. It's hard to imagine that baby that day in the temple would be the rise and fall of many and the salvation of many as well as judgment itself. I read an article by a Jewish rabbi that spoke about Jesus. That's what caught my attention. And in the article, he said that Jesus was the ruin of the Jewish people. Talk about a complete opposite of what Simeon and Anna said, but that Jesus ruined the Jewish people and that he stole the glory from the Jews. And he said, Christians see that Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament promises. And he says, and because of that, Jews are no longer looked up to as the race. Wow, what an opposite perspective of who Jesus is. See, without Jesus, one cannot understand the Old Testament. You can be the most moral, the most ethical person, honest person, but without Jesus, it avails us nothing. And by the way, Jews and Gentiles without Christ are lost. And you know what? Gentiles are ruined if they don't have Christ. It's easy to pick on that Jewish rabbi, but even Gentiles without Christ are ruined. Simeon and Anna, although they were old and infirmed, and remember, they didn't have Advil, ibuprofen, or any of those other painkillers for arthritis. So imagine not having your arthritis pills and being 84. All right, so they are infirmed. But yet they had Jesus. And it filled them with such joy and zeal they had to tell others. Simeon was so thrilled that he was ready to die. He had seen it all. He had seen the Christ child. The Savior was there in front of him. You know, we don't have to fear death even in a helicopter if you have Jesus. That day there were other parents as well, probably in the temple. And they might have had the idea, let's get this ritual done, let's give the sacrificial animal, and let's get home before it gets dark. Now, it doesn't say, but you can probably assume Mary and Joseph were not bragging about their child, talking about angels and shepherds. They were humble, devout parents. But there was going to be a public announcement. Anna and Simeon pointed out their child, the Christ child. And I wonder if some of the other parents didn't say, well, isn't my child just as important? Why aren't they pointing out my child? Why aren't they saying good things about my child? What do you mean he's going to save people? He's going to be the glory of Israel. I don't know. I just imagine these snarky parents. Don't you ever wonder this stuff? Of course you do. Okay, and if you don't, okay. All right, anyway, after this was a spectacle in a good sense. Something miraculous had happened there when Simeon and Anna spoke, and I am willing to bet it became the talk of certainly the temple, if not Jerusalem itself. We got to be careful that we're not like probably the other parents that day in the temple when we approach worship. We just check off for our day, well, I've been to church. Where are we in the service? Time to stand up, sit down, or which hymn number are we on? Instead, we should always be focusing on who Jesus is, what he's done, and what he expects. And soon we will eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. We hear him announce that our sins are forgiven, and it's here that our faith is strengthened. Those that came to find Jesus that day in the temple were also rewarded. You know, one of our orders of service, if you remember, especially the page, I think it was good old page 15, back in the real hymnal. Sorry, I'm old guard. The real hymnal. After communion, what did we always sing? O Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. You got it. We still say those words today, and one of the orders of service in our present hymnal has it as well. Going back to children in general, you know, they do bring out the best and worst in parents. We're proud when our kids do well, but when things don't go well, Guess what? We blame the refs. We blame the team. We blame the opposition. We blame the coach. Why? Because we live through our children. And I'll connect this to Mary and Joseph in a minute. Here's a question. Why is a Christmas program always well attended? Yeah, who does that put the focus on? Gotta be careful. I mean, seriously, anything we do. Sorry, it's not about the kids. It's about the message that they bring in such a beautiful, beautiful way. I'm not knocking it, Heidi, okay? I'm just saying the focus is not the kids. Therefore, attendance should be the same every Sunday because the focus of any service is Jesus Christ himself. See, we live through him. I said parents live through their children. Well, we live through him. And I love it in the text where Simeon came up and grabbed Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that he asked to do it, but I'm just picturing when he saw the Christ child, he just went up, took the Christ child from Mary, and held on to him like that child belonged to him. And he did. Same way that Jesus belongs to each and every one of us. You know, I didn't try to take a child once in a grocery store, just to tell you that. But I did. I saw this cutest little baby in the grocery cart and was just asking to be played with. Well, I went up and the mother looked at me with a face that could have killed and said, "Don't touch my child." Oh. So I couldn't have a Simeon moment. But I wanted to hug that little one. Anyway, that's just completely sidebar. All right, Simeon grabbed the Christ child like he belonged to him, and he did. The same way that Jesus belongs to us. He came for the world. See, we don't want to face the punishment for our sins. So he came to take that place. So today and every day, we focus on Jesus, the Messiah, who brings salvation to the world. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.